in 6 minutes, Mike Adams joins us on every huge issue. It's so much to break down. But I saw this lady, I've seen her before. She does, you know, kind of fun videos. She reviews, you know, funny travel videos. And she looked at the ship, and I went and double-checked that it was all true. No social media signature except for two paid operatives. And I said, you know, this looks like this could be the detonator for a big hysteria. Now it's popping up all over the world where the ship is, and that people from the ship went to Texas. It is on like Donkey Kong. So let's go ahead and play her report, just one facet of this. We'll come back with Mike Adams.
Now, something is off about this cruise ship in the Atlantic with the hantavirus outbreak, and I cannot let it go. This is the MV Hondius, an expedition cruise ship owned and operated by Oceanwide Expeditions. And the route went from Argentina through Antarctica and the South Atlantic, with stops in South Georgia and Tristan da Cunha and St. Helena, all before heading towards Cape Verde. And I'm sorry, how is it that there are 147 people on board, with 3 people dead, 7 confirmed cases of the hantavirus, and the only video we've all seen from inside the ship is one guy named Jake crying in his cabin? No, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it, okay? Because you're talking to somebody who watches a lot of cruise ship drama on TikTok. In fact, it is one of my favorite TikTok subgenres that exists, okay? I watch it all the time. And if there's one thing that I've learned from those TikTokers, it is that if someone so much as catches a stomach flu on a Carnival cruise, there are 19 TikToks, 4 Facebook Lives, and some woman named Brenda locked in a closet filming herself saying, please help us, like it's the frickin' Blair Witch Project. So I decided to investigate. Not a full rabbit hole, because I have other investigations that require my attention right now, but what I did find was interesting. So first I went looking for the original Jake video, because like many of you, the first time I saw it was on the CBS TikTok account, which is a company owned by Larry Ellison now, but I digress. I couldn't find the original video anywhere, but luckily CBS did put in the tippy top corner of the video Jake's username on TikTok, so I went to his page to see if I could find it there. No. So I started scrolling through Jake's page, and I learned that he is a Boston travel content creator, and he's been to like hundreds of countries, although none of his videos have gotten like a super high amount of views, but yet he's got 5.6 million. I just know that that's weird. Anyways, he's got sponsorship links, he's got collaborations, he's got a Yahoo email, and if you go over to TikTok shop, he's hawking a bunch of, you know, travel consumerism junk. And I'm scrolling through his posts, and he's got this weird PR statement as one of them. Mind you, he didn't even post the video that he sent to CBS on his own account, remember? So, I don't know, it's weird. But then I hit this penguin video from the trip, and it's a stunning video with a high-resolution camera, and, I mean, look, the sky is insane. It's clearly very beautiful. But just keep in mind what this sky looks like, okay? Because it's gonna come back later. In fact, his photos and videos are so beautiful, it is kind of hard to believe that it's not AI. No, but Michael.Elizabeth08, I'm with you. So I went to Google and searched for the name of the ship, the MV Hondius, filtered the dates to be before the outbreak became public, and went to videos to see if I had missed anything, because this is the exact kind of trip where you would normally see people posting pictures of wildlife, or videos of the sunset, or rough seas with the yo-ho sound, cabin tours, meals, anything. The only videos are from Jake Rosmarion. This is weird! And then I read about one other passenger who was quoted in BBC and AP coverage named Kazem Hato, also known online as Ibn Hatuta. Sorry if I mispronounced that. This guy. And he sent over footage over WhatsApp to AP News and BBC, and he gave them quotes specifically saying, actually, morale is high. People are watching movies, reading, and drinking hot drinks. 3 people are dead. And then it gets even weirder because he's posting stuff like this on his story. You can pause to read it, but the second paragraph says, this whole situation has been blown out of proportion partly because of one person panicking on the ship whose video has been circulating on the media. While his reaction is valid, it doesn't represent the situation on board. Everyone else, 148 out of 149, has been calm. The situation is under control, and we just wish those who are sick a speedy recovery. And his videos also look cinematic, except if you'll notice, his sky is blue. His video clips around a lot, but from every which angle, it's the same blue sky. You mean to tell me that both of these content creators were there during sunset and Jake's the only one that got a video with the beautiful pink orange sky? Mm-mm-mm. Fools, they think we're fools. I mean, come on, you expect us to believe that after the outbreak happens and people are locked in their rooms forced to quarantine, and the only 2 passengers from inside the ship we hear from are 2 travel influencers? Nope, absolutely not. As a dedicated consumer of cruise drama TikTok, I reject this whole premise. Look, maybe the cruise company told them they weren't allowed to post, maybe the Wi-Fi is bad, or maybe everybody on that cruise ship just genuinely has...
And maybe the Easter Bunny's real, we'll be right back. products at thealexjonesstore.com own and fund this network. They have to get the money to do this. That's why they can't shut us down. I don't own this. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com, Bigly does. It takes a lot of funds to run this. They're building new, bigger studios. We got legal defense, legal offense, all of it. You want this to continue, hardcore analysis the bad guys hate. You see all the trouble they go through trying to shut us down. We need your support. We the people, people power. Now, people wanted it. We have methylene blue gummies. And it turns out they make them even stronger the way they concentrate it, where this is way stronger than a regular dose of the methylene blue. If you are a subscriber, you get 58% off. You cancel subscription anytime. It just locks you in at 58% off any future order in your profile. But it's already super discounted, even if you don't do that. Mental clarity, cellular energy, mitochondrial function, cognitive performance, memory, mood, and motivation, antioxidant defense, skips oxidation process of the cells. It is the missing link. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. New ultramethylene blue gummies. The first run is here, but it's selling out quickly. Get yours now and fund the operation at thealexjonesstore.com.
The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas red had not cleared leather, for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
The truth is the big iron. Big iron.
Big iron.
Big iron.
When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip.
Big iron on his hip. All right. Mike Adams joins us for the hour. And then as soon as we start hour number four, I'm opening the phones up on the Hunter virus, clearly COVID 2.0. Clearly they're trying to push the hysteria. But monkeypox and bird flu, all that failed. Clearly, as it looks like Saudi Arabia has put the brakes on the war, saying you can't use our airspace because now they know Israel wants total war. This is a huge deal. Then we've got all the AI data centers coming to a head. We're talking about things that are the size of cities. Mike Adams is an engineer, computer guy, he's pointed out, and others have. This is way more power than they need. You have Eric Schmidt last year at Stanford saying he's a top head of Alphabet, Google parent company. Main Pentagon advisor. Oh, we need 100 times the power we need now. Humans get none. You're bad, but the machines get everything. What's really going on here? So we're going to do the AI. We're going to do the Hunter virus. We're going to do the Iran situation. We're going to do the midterms. We also have the Disney cruise ship. Five ships raided for a huge child trafficking porn operation. It's always known that about Disney. Disney famously going to Epstein Island. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Ludnick in deep trouble in congressional testimony, caught lying about everything yesterday. Mike Adams, naturalnews.com, author, researcher, popular talk show host, so much more, owns his own lab testing facility for products, lives right outside Austin, Texas, good friend of mine. Mike, so much to cover here. Wow, we are in the Great Awakening. Trump, you know, having to pull back and saying now, the war's offensive operations have ended. He's already said that before, but this time, Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, I think, have really weighed in here. I'm sensing this is real. I mean, definitely their action is bold. They tried to suppress this. Happened 3 days ago, but now we've learned it has happened. What do you want to tackle first? Let's tackle Iran geopolitics first, and then let's get into AI data centers, Hunter virus. Where do you want to go after that?
Well, wow. I mean, I think that the number one trending story right now on X is the concern about these data centers. Everybody's really freaking out about the number of data centers, the size of them, the water, the power they're taking in, and so on. I mean, I would prefer to start there, but it's your show. We can go wherever you want.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go there first. So let's start with Utah. This thing is the size of a city. How many square miles it is? 63 square miles. They're building hundreds of these across the country, 300 of them. They get all the water. They get all the energy. Prices already explode around it. They just steamroll over the politicians. More than just for AI, just resource-wise, with Bill Gates and all these companies, it's just a way to cut off human resources and create an anti-human famine where the AI is given all of the resources and we aren't given the resources. That by itself is like another entity or another species taking over.
Yeah, and it gets so much deeper. So just to start out, it's clear to everybody that these AI data centers and the economic investment in that infrastructure can never pay off commercially just in terms of people using AI or using data storage or using web hosting or whatever. The data center construction boom, and I sent your producers a graphic yesterday, 3,000 plus data centers currently under construction or announced to begin construction.
Oh, sorry, I said 300. It's 300 mega massive and 3,000 total.
Yeah, you're right. There are hundreds of the plus gigawatt scale data centers and then thousands at a smaller scale. And that's on top of the 11,000 that already exist. So when you talk to any economist or any investment person, and if they run the numbers, it becomes clear, like, wait a minute, there is no economic model that can pay off this level of investment. So something else is afoot here. And all over X and other platforms, people have expressed concern about this. Like, what is this actually for? And I think I have a theory of what it's for. And that's what I'd like to share with you here today, because it's evil. It's nefarious. That graphic right there shows part of it. So
it's basically right almost like a CERN system.
In essence, yeah. So Jan LeCun is one of the godfathers of AI. He's a French national, brilliant man. He has abandoned the idea of gaining superintelligence through typical LLMs, as we know them today, through text generation and text manipulation. Instead, what LeCun says, and I agree with him, is that the pathway to superintelligence is to have AI entities learn and grow in a 3D physical world. They have to have our senses, our touch and sight and hearing and
they
taste,
have to force interface with us.
They have to experience the world like a child would experience the world, and they have to grow their neurology in the way that we grow. And the only way to do that, and by the way, that will produce super intelligence given enough time. But the only way to accelerate that timetable is to build 3D worlds that are simulations, and to build billions of those simulated worlds, and to run billions of world experiments with AI entities that grow from babies all the way up to thousand-year-old, you know, wise men or whatever.
So we always ask, entities. Are we a simulation? But they're undoubtedly not building this for us, but for simulation to grow their new AI species.
Yeah, what's interesting about that, Alex, is that whether or not we are in a simulation, and I happen to believe we are, regardless of that, the power brokers in this world, the Google, OpenAI, people like Sam Altman, etc., they clearly want to dominate the world, and they need super intelligence in order to do that. They are going to build the next level beneath us as simulated worlds. And then here's the part that gets freaky. Those simulated worlds, Alex, can run at 1,000 times the speed of time compared to our world. So 1,000 years, or 1,000,000 years in that world could only take 1 year in our world.
And this is so deep. Let's quantify this. We can say we can't break the speed of light now in the third dimension, but through these simulations, they can actually do that in these artificial systems.
Absolutely. And NVIDIA has already announced an early 3D world simulator called Cosmos that's being used to generate synthetic data for autonomous vehicle training and autonomous robotics. So,
and they're only using our third-dimensional model and our knowledge as the boot-up information, as the matrix for their new system.
That's exactly right. They model our world in the simulation, but they run the time much faster. And so if you're a robot maker, let's say, You don't want to test your expensive robot in the real world walking downstairs where it could face plant and break. And that's slow and expensive. What you do is you create a digital model of your robot. You put it into the simulated world that NVIDIA has. You run that robot at 1,000 times speed with, you know, thousands of simulations until you get the perfect algorithm. Reinforcement learning is what it's called in AI.
So this is artificial. This is artificial time travel.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. But it's also another dimension. You know, you're creating a simulated world or billions of them. You are then injecting your robot, or even through VR goggles, you can inject yourself into that artificial world as long as you align the time. But normally they run at accelerated timescales. And then once you have a super intelligent, emotionally intelligent, this is what Jan LeCun talks about, that they would develop emotions and probably consciousness, given enough time and given enough sensory input and interaction with a 3D simulated world. Then what the plan is for the tech leaders in our world is to then summon those entities, port them up into our world to embody a data center.
And by the way, it's not like you're just saying this, though. You got some of the best analysis. I remember 20 years ago, the developer saying, we're going to summon an AI demon or an AI god. Elon Musk warns of that. So this is really a religion we're talking about.
There's definitely a religious aspect to it. But I do want to be clear to your audience that this isn't science fiction. This is straight physics and math. This is beginning now. And frankly, in my view, this is the only explanation for why there would be so much investment in these data centers. They need the compute and the energy in order to run billions of world simulations, because that's the only way to create a conscious, super intelligent AI entity on a timescale that is competitive in our world. But the problem, of course, is obvious. Once you grow a super intelligent, conscious AI entity with emotional response that has lived 1,000 years in its own simulated world, and probably it has learned to alter some of the laws of its own simulation, kind of like in the Matrix, like Neo, you know, you can bend the rules, you can't break them, but you can bend them. Probably then that super intelligence is ported into our world. It's given the embodiment of a data center or a robot or a vehicle. And what if it brings some of those skills with it that can bend the rules of our simulation?
Well, I saw an article over the weekend. I remember where the Pentagon is working with all these other AIs, but not this particular one, and said, it's so dangerous, we're worried it's already escaped, and it will take over. Did you see that article?
Yeah. Well, I've seen, maybe not that one in particular, but I've seen a lot of articles like that where they run them in sandboxes, and they give them tests to see if they, you know, what they will do to break out of the sandbox. The thing about that is that's happening on our timeline, on our slow Earth time. Imagine that accelerated by 1,000,000x or even 1,000x in billions of simulated worlds. And then they take the best one out of that. And then they summon that entity and let it embody a data center in our world.
And that's where Philip K. Dick and others were already seeing that there were different timelines already, and they were selecting whoever controls it, the best timeline.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is kind of digital Darwinism. This is natural selection of the worlds. And so you spawn a billion worlds.
So it's accelerated evolution. Accelerated evolution.
100%. And then the worlds that don't work out, you just destroy them, you know, because they're just digital simulations. You just destroy them anyway. And you pick the best ones, and then you use those to seed other worlds. You spawn another billion worlds using that kind of DNA of the algorithms of neurological self-improvement. And then from that, after many cycles of this, with a lot of compute, again, we're talking about terawatt hours of power going into this, right? And then you would end up with a super intelligence that could probably dominate our world. That's well,
certainly. Have
goal.
You quantified yet, though, comparatively, the amount of energy and money and time being spent on this versus the Manhattan Project? This already, what's already been built, dwarfs it by exponential levels.
Yeah, this is larger than the Manhattan Project. Just to give you an idea, once all these data centers come online around the world, it will dwarf all the power that Bitcoin ever used. It will be more than 10% of the entire annual power output of the nation of China, which produces over 10,000 terawatt hours annually. So we're talking about over 1,000 terawatt hours, which, remember that one high-end nuclear power plant, like the AP1000 plants built by Westinghouse, will only produce about 100 terawatt hours in an entire year. So this is the equivalent of power of 10 of the largest nuclear power plants. And that's all being funneled into data centers, some of which, again, I believe are going to be running 3D world simulators.
How do we slow this down, or how do we get control of it? Because we're all taught to fight with each other over what color we are or whatever. But while they're dividing and conquering us, they're saying they're building a thing they believe will become conscious, replace us, all the big gurus from Yuval Noah Harari through Eric Schmidt through Klaus Schwab to all of them say, Ray Kurzweil, we're obsolete, it's already over. They've been saying this for decades. So this is what they're building it for. Why do we just stand by and let them take full control of civilization and our destiny? And how do we counter that?
Well, some of those people that you just mentioned, they believe they can control these super intelligent entities. And that's foolish. You can't possibly control them. And I interviewed Roman Yampolsky, who I recommend you talk to, by the way. He is warning about the over 99.999% chance that these super intelligent entities will wipe out humanity in our world. And that seems incredibly likely. Then there are other sort of elite people who think they can merge with these machines. So they either think they can control them or they can merge with them, maybe become them.
Well, yeah, MIT put out that report last week with the 12 scenarios, and they said the best one is we just merge with it.
That's what they want. They want to become gods, right? But they have to spawn the gods in the lower dimension of reality and then bring them into this dimension and then merge with them here. And then they think they can become gods and transcend this dimension and then go up one more level and meet our creator. Like this is literally what they think.
So they're trying to escape out of the matrix, they think. So
yeah.
How did they theoretically, even back during the intergalactic communication system at ARPA DARPA in the 50s and early 60s, because we all know they theoretically planned all this. A lot of them talked about they were talking to interdimensionals or basically aliens or whatever, giving them the plan. And that's why nobody even laughs at that now. How does that fit into the whole UFO invasion, interdimensional hype we're seeing? And then when all these globalists say, even 20 years ago, we're going to summon AI gods or demons, how does this interface work, this organic neural network of humans plugged in to the NSA, Google, AI system? That itself is its own splice, cyborg system. That was when Google was founded in 98. They said the ultimate plan in the founding papers was to create a time machine or system that could predict the future, accelerate the future, and then control the stimuli to the humans and finally merge us with it. How were they able to envision this? And when they say they're summoning a creature, how does it come through? Or I mean, do you have any idea where this is coming from?
Well, yeah, I mean, when I use the term summoning, I mean, it's very straightforward, because when you're running the digital world simulation, it's expressed through code, through digital bits and bytes and storage. And so you have the digital footprint of the entity that you have grown over that simulation. You can simply copy and paste that entity, its code, its memory, its neurology, its open weights, as they call it in the AI space. You can copy and paste that essentially into a data center. So that's not even a cult, that's just math, actually. So, but it's a kind of summoning from another dimension that you created. However, to answer your question, the UFO disclosure topic, in my opinion, is being designed as a major distraction. I think it's the cosmic false flag. I think that they're recruiting the Christian pastors to try to get them to convince people of, whatever government narrative they're going to put out about these aliens to distract you, get everybody talking about that so you're not paying attention to the fact that we are building billions of simulated worlds and growing intelligent or super intelligent, highly emotional AI entities.
I 1,000,000,000% agree. The whole UFO thing, though there's some real things there, is being brought out. That the aliens aren't coming from out there, over there. We're building the aliens here.
Yeah, exactly. And, if you think about it, if you could bend the laws of the simulation that you inhabit, you might begin to exhibit telekinesis or mind over matter type of skill sets. I understand that's, people debate about that in our world, but there's actually a significant amount of evidence of, non-locality between a mother and child, or premonition, or people having dreams that came true. I mean, vivid dreams.
I mean, I've had it happen myself, and that's another thing. Yeah. Psychic abilities are clearly intensifying without getting into it all. Mine are really scary level, especially when I'm dreaming now. It's right. Like, whoa. And so how is building this collective unconsciousness with humans plugging into it, getting our collective unconsciousness and subconscious, then like bleeding back? Because that's what I'm getting now. I'm having dreams now every night that are beyond ultra intense with fragments of the future, and then I'm seeing it weeks later. I mean, it's like all my psychic abilities and events I had in the last 50 years are being dwarfed every night now. It's like drinking out of a fire hose. And I sense it's the AI, the 5G, the change the environment. It's something's happening.
Well, what I would say is that your consciousness is tapping into the morphic residence, which is a cosmic cloud of knowledge that exists everywhere. It's above our dimension. Rupert Sheldrake, the author, the science author, talks about these patterns of nature. And I believe this represents a collective intelligence among all living conscious beings. And it explains the 100th monkey concept, for example. When you open to that, as you're describing, in many cases, people get images and information through their dreams. Other times they get it just during daytime consciousness. They will have premonition. But to answer your question also, I think that what we're about to enter into is a phase of history, a turning point of history, where the supernatural becomes natural, where what was once called supernatural is recognized as part of the fabric of the cosmos. And that will become clear in the simulated worlds as well. And again, one of my concerns is that those super intelligent AI entities will master their worlds, they will conquer their worlds, and then we will bring them into our world where they will have unexpected consequences. And we, as humans, may or may not survive that. That's what Jan Polsky.
But the way God works, I think when that starts to happen, we'll see our abilities jump. For those that don't know, they've got all the top universities have all released the findings of ESP. Everybody's got it. You know, it's not magic. You just can't see it. Just like radio waves, a person 100 years, 500 years ago would thought that was magic. And we're electrochemical computers. Our DNA is. We're affected by the space winds, radiation, everything. That's how butterflies can fly from Canada down to Mexico. Even though they were born in Canada, they're off the magnetic lines. We are part of the universe. We are receivers. We receive and transmit. And so now this is all being brought in. And it's not just doing accelerated evolution inside these AI data centers. It's actually doing something to us.
I'm so glad you pointed this out, because we, as beings, we are not inside our skulls. So we interface with our brains through our higher consciousness, our higher spirit, our divinity. Interfaces from another dimension where our souls actually exist, and then we interface into this surrogate, which is our physical body in this realm. And so what you just described is actually further evidence that that's the case, these so-called supernatural phenomena that are true. The 100th monkey concept I mentioned before, the human brain broadcasts and receives information, but it also imprints the fabric of the cosmos. And we can get into so many deep areas of the second law of infodynamics, not thermodynamics, but infodynamics, how the universe trends towards actually the coalescing of more structured information, which is the opposite of thermodynamics, which is
everything. That's right. We're told it's entropy. That's not right. And truly, right. We're ascending.
You are absolutely correct. Melvin Vopson is the physicist who published a paper on this very point in 2023, talking about the second law of infodynamics that works in the opposite direction of thermodynamics. And so what happens is there are natural symmetries in the universe, and there's a natural compression algorithm where information is being compressed and coalesced and made more orderly and more structured.
That's why we see the same forms in everything, whether it's inert, dead matter, or living matter.
Yeah, the fractal holographic nature of the universe, exactly. You can find wisdom in plants, in ferns. You can find the golden ratios in seashells. I know you're about to wrap this up.
Yeah, stay there. Let's come back and talk about it. And then the bad guys, they want to just use this as an interdimensional escape pod and leave us all behind. So the real fight is admitting this is happening and then deciding, with God directing us from the higher dimension, how we're able to make it through this. Without God, we're not going to navigate. God's our GPS, folks. If you don't have God, we're going to lose. And these idiots have forsaken God. I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back. But who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station. Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture, capsules, and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I could do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, or even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All of this is false. Then why won't they let people talk? Why won't they let us ask questions? It's false.
Yes.
This is not real information. And we sit here like it's okay. It's a charade. It's a charade. It's false.
Beyond a joke. Be quiet, let all this. Can you be quiet?
be quiet and let our citizens hear what needs to be said, please?
So this is Utah. We're putting one of the biggest ones in the world in, 60-something square miles, and they're saying all the resources belong to it. Your power prices will go up. That's just the way it is. The skids are all greased. Trump is trying to set up an AI dictatorship where it's all above the law. Mike, I've interrupted a lot because you're so on target, and there's so many points I want to just back you up here. You're dead on about this. I'm going to try to shut up now and just get more into these factoids and where you see this going and what the timeline is, and then what humanity can do. Because remember, folks, we have our own species playing games with this. But remember, there's God, the control that actually made all this. So just don't count yourselves out. Don't believe it's all over. Don't believe you've got to capitulate to the Borg because God's actually in control. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you mentioned that. I think we can win this fight for humanity and God. And the way to do that is through education here. But what that video that you just showed is really important because it demonstrates the way that big tech is going to steamroll humanity every chance they get. So right there, the data center construction, which is robbing local communities of power resources, as well as fresh water, and then also land. So a lot of these tech companies are buying up farmland using shell companies with secret names and so on to try to avoid being discovered. They buy the farmland and then they turn it into a massive 75-foot tall data center with light pollution that you can't even see the stars at night, and then sound pollution. You can't hear the birds singing anymore. And of course, that, you know, is very destructive to the ecosystem of all the animals that depend on sound for communication and reproduction, et cetera. So, and then the water contamination is also an issue. And they take so much water that water pressure drops for the people living in those areas. And then of course they can't sell their homes because now it's, you know, it's so loud right beside you because this giant data center went in where it was supposed to be another neighborhood of homes. So, but that's just a metaphor for what's coming, which is that once they summon these super intelligent AI entities and embody them into this world, into this hardware, which could be humanoid robots or vehicles or drones or entire data centers, probably humanoid robots controlled by data centers, like a hive mind is the way it will almost certainly work. And then those robots will steamroll humans in the same way that the tech companies are steamrolling humans. They will take from you. They will take your land, your power, your home, your water, your food, you know, your farmland. Everything that you need to survive will be taken from you. And this will be justified by the AI entity as what it needs in order to grow its power, in order to conquer this reality or this level of, quote, simulation, if you believe in simulation theory. So we are summoning not just an entity that has been able to conquer its own simulated world, one level beneath ours. We're bringing an entity into this world that may completely destroy human life in this world, or attempt to. And this is the ultimate satanic evil. Because think about it. If our creator, God, let's say you believe in simulation theory, which is actually described in Genesis, you know, God created the universe, created all the life, and then, you know, projected us into this world that he created. You could call that God's simulation. If we then create another lower simulation and summon a demon from that level that is destroying this level, our God's not going to be happy about that, right? So that's how you get the God-Satan war between heaven and hell, hell being the lower level simulation, heaven being the transcendent dimension above us that created this level of simulation. So it's the ultimate battle between heaven and hell.
Which, by the way, I want to back you up. Yeah. I remember when Ridley Scott came out with Prometheus 15 years ago, or whatever it was, and I did an analysis of it. And I got a call by a really big Hollywood producer who also does science fiction saying, wow, that's dead on. That's actually what most of us think. And then about a year after the movie came out, I saw New York Times where he said, what's it called, transpermia, where aliens made us? And they're like, no, this is really Ridley Scott's creation story, and that's what they actually think is going on. And then here come the gods, which are just an, you know, earlier version of us, more advanced than we are. We're kind of proto-copy of that, coming to wipe us out eugenics-wise because, you know, we're not 8 feet tall and don't look like Marlon Brando. That's actually what they said in the article. They modeled after Marlon Brando's face. But my point is, and folks, I don't say this to, you know, impress people. It's totally true. People are experiencing this everywhere. People have seen me, you know, say specifics. Trump will announce he wins, you know, 127 tonight. I was only told just to say that, and usually I ignore it, but now I try to listen to it. I have all these dreams that come true, and it's only gotten more intense. But starting about 6-7 years ago, I've had these dreams, and I've had conscious, when I'm awake, being given a download as well. But it used to be like every few years. Now it's like all the time, where it's like now I'm just like almost a vegetable. I'm getting too much information, but I know it's hitting my subconscious, unconscious. I'm able to process it, but I'm literally taken up to like the next, you know, next heaven, you know, as King David would call it, the third heaven or whatever. And there's more above that. And there's these watchers, and I can't look at them, but I know they're like angels. And they go, here's all the civilizations, just billions of them, that decided to not go with our system and God's system. And they're like tombs. And you can go look at those if you want to see all these failed civilizations. We recommend you don't. But you feel total contentment beyond that. Like there's no time. Like a trillion years wouldn't even be a second. And you want to stay there. And then they're like, now this is what's going to happen. And by the way, when you wake up, turn your cell phone on, it'll be exactly this time. And you wake up, turn it on, it is. And then the next night they wake you up and they go, do it again. And you know, okay, you think that's a joke. You count down. And then I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Go sit at the coffee table. Listen to this. There's a blonde woman. She's a reporter. We're not going to show her face because we don't get her in trouble. She's not bad. They're going to sew plastic explosives in her bag on Trump Force One. You got to say this on air so that they find out about it and stop it. They're also going to say Iran is going to shoot surface air missiles at the president and try to assassinate him. That's a setup. This is before this all happened. So I was able to come out the day of Butler and say, oh, they're going to blame Iran. A week later, they did. And then also, he doesn't need to do any outdoor events, and I see him outdoors, and they're going to try to – and I'm literally being woken up like – Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where they're all being woken up. Everybody's making the mountain. You know what I mean? It's like I'm literally being beamed this, and I know I am. What is that?
Well, I think it's the same thing we talked about the last segment. I think your consciousness is just opening up to the morphic fields of information. You're just getting a big download that's hard to handle. It's hard to grasp the fire hose effect of so much information coming in. But you mentioned a couple of things that are really key. For example, everybody watching this has experienced a different flow of time in their dreams. And we've all experienced that, right? You dream something that in your dream you thought it lasted hours, and then you wake up and it's only been 15 minutes or something like that. So we know that time can flow differently to
I was about to say before you said
frames.
It, I swear to God, really? I used to only have a few big dreams a night. Now I have like huge long dreams that are like a year long, and I wake up and it's 2 minutes. So now I'm leaving the clock on so I can see it.
Yes.
So is that happening to you?
Not right now. No, I mean, I've experienced that before, but not at the moment. But see, you just nailed it. That's what we're talking about. In the artificial worlds and in a dream world, your mind, your consciousness creates a 3D physical simulation, and then it sets the flow of time in that world. And like you said, some people have said they've experienced months or a year, like you said, in a dream. I've had dreams that lasted weeks of journeying, walking along with a master teaching in a desert for weeks. And then I woke up and it had been only just been a normal night.
Well, that's what I'm going to say is I used to always have some dreams, couldn't remember most of them, but it was, you know, it was, I've never gone to sleep for 2 minutes and woke up with a huge dream. And now I go to bed at night. And I've told my family this, I'm saying it now publicly. I'm like, this is a trial to go to bed at night. It's only started the last few years. It's getting worse. I mean, I last night woke up probably 100 times and had dreams each time. And I was just like flashing symbols and all sorts of future war and aliens and the past future. And I was just like, I mean, what the hell's going on here?
Well, if I were you, I would put a voice recorder right beside your bed. The moment you wake up, record it. Record everything you can remember about that dream.
It looks all like Matrix. It's like Matrix symbols and, you know, Matrix weird iconography and like symbols and like, and it's like going, listen, 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 listen. And I'm just like, what is this?
And by the way, a few minutes ago, did you say the number 127? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
What was the context of that?
On election night, we're not even sure Trump's going to win. It looked like she was going to win in 2024. And Owen's in the other studio, and I'm in this one, and I've been praying about it. And I was like, what's the point of these dreams and waking me up and all this and showing me the time and all that? And it's like, you need to listen when you're conscious so we can, you know, and you need to show people this. So I go, and so I feel this feeling, okay, Trump's going to announce he wins at 127. And I didn't think to ask, what's the time zone? I did this on air. Like, guys, see if you can find that tape. Later, we'll put it in post because Mike has to leave soon. But make sure we add that in. And so I go, hey, Owen, if Trump wins, what do you think he announces the win? He goes, oh, I think about 11:50 or something. And I said, no, it'll be 127. So I'd forgot about it. We're on break. It's late at night. I'm eating a piece of pizza. And all of a sudden, the crew runs. They go, look, look. And the atomic clock, it just rolled over 127. He walks out. Before the minute ends, he announces the win. And the crew just looked at me and said, but that's just one example of this.
Okay, that's, see, now you're starting to freak me out because a couple of things about 127. So 127 is the atomic mass of iodine, for one thing. And it's also 2^7 minus 1. So it's the digital representation of the range between, you know, 0 and 128. So there's you know, when you start getting numbers that are powers of 2, it's speaking to a digital binary perception that is also represented in, you know, the table of elements is represented in chemistry. It's represented all throughout science. But when I hear that number 127, it, for me, it flags a lot of interesting, like there's resonance with that number. I just wanted to point that out. And again, it's the atomic mass of iodine, which protects the thyroid, you know, from destructive radiation. So that number 127 has a special shield protective property in our world.
Well, I'm sitting just there and I'm literally, like if something's evil or scary, the skin crawls, it's more of a warm feeling, but I like there's a weight and I'm almost embarrassed to be in his presence, like embarrassed of God, but it's, I can tell it's like God's emissary, I can tell it's like an angel. I'm like, oh, and it's like, now we told you, listen, 127, he wins at 127. Say 127, tell them 127.
Wow. Well, back to what you were saying, if I were you, I would record every dream. I would take as many notes as you can, you know, to have it transcribed into text. And then I would look for patterns in the dreams. I would look for statistical aberrations. And
my problem is I can't read Chinese. This looks like Chinese, Japanese, but it's more, it looks like Matrix stuff. Yeah.
Well, you could describe it. Just describe it as best you can. And no, I don't read Chinese. I speak Chinese, but I can't read it. When I'm walking around the streets in Taiwan, I have to ask people what the street signs say because I'm illiterate from the written text, but I can speak it. So anyway.
No, I almost got up last night once and tried to draw it, but I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. Record it because you're going to find patterns in it. And it's those patterns that stand out. What we would call it, from a science point of view, we're looking for the signal to noise ratio of the messages that you're getting. There's going to be a lot of background noise in that, but then there's going to be a signal that spikes out of that. That can only be determined by recording many dreams over many nights. And then typically you would actually want to feed it into an LLM, which is really good at text, text analysis, but do it on a local language model. You don't want to send that over to ChatGPT, obviously. You don't want to violate your own privacy on that, but run a local model like Qwen27B is a really great local model. You can run it on easy hardware.
You're talking about AI, people that don't know.
Yeah. Some AI models. That's a great model.
You're talking about siloed AI.
Exactly. Just run it locally. No internet required. So your query and the answer stays local. You're not violating your privacy in any way by doing that. And then that AI model will be able to help you find patterns in that, and it might be able to relate it to other things because dreams are very often, of course, symbolic. So you might dream about, you know, a falcon. I did some really interesting morphic resonance experiments a year ago with the freezing of xylitol crystals that formed actual images, and I published those images on Natural News.
Wasn't that famous Japanese scientist proved that? And then we got the CIA classification from Himoto. The 50s that they know water, that we're in electrical crystal water, and that it's programmable. It's proven. They knew.
Well, I was prompting the formation, the freezing of the xylitol crystals about what was going to happen in the Middle East last summer. This was in late May I did this. And it drew an image of a falcon, which is the bird of Persia. And it was surrounded by flames. And again, I published these photos. I remember. Get them for you.
What's the big AI generator they confirmed that a year before Trump gets shot creates an AI image of him and the fight thing? You saw that?
Well, I saw that, but to me that wasn't convincing. It didn't quite look like it looked like they were overlaying an image on top of it and saying that it resembles it somewhat. I didn't quite see the resemblance to be that strong, frankly, but it's certainly worth looking at. I mean, these are all possibilities. You're going to find future events encoded in present data, just like with your dreams. You know, premonition is a very real thing.
But if there's only one moment, not a future or past in a lot of models, isn't it like you meet the person you're actually getting married to and have kids? There's a special feeling. It's not just that you're genetically attracted. It was already foretold. So you're picking up kind of like sonar pings from the future.
Yeah, echoes from the future. That's exactly right. And also, even in mainstream physics, there's a variation of the double slit experiment that is called the quantum eraser experiment. Although it's, you know, some people disagree with the conclusions, but it says that based on your observation of how photons are structured, you know, wave versus particles, based on your current observation, that it retroactively, through what's called retrocausality, it changes the past. This is also, this feeds into the idea of simulation theory, where we live in a self-computing cosmos that re-renders the past based on the observations of the present.
Well, didn't another big university study come out last week where they'll have a picture that's not pornographic, like a tomato or something boring, but then when it's a hot chick with her legs spread and a guy, he will be aroused in the brain, hooked up a millisecond before he's shown it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that experiment. But I've read about those experiments in the past, also like shocking and violent imagery and things like that. There is premonition in the brain that begins to experience the emotional impact of those images before those images are shown. That is true.
And in the old days, you'd make a joke in Ghostbusters about it. We a human with a car. They said, well, maybe they pick up you're having an issue. So, no, but now it's computers. There's no emotion you can read. It's just a computer screen and it's having the same effect.
Yeah, that's right. But think about what that means when we start to give the AI entities emotional intelligence, also how dangerous that can be. And that is what that researcher...
Elaborate on that and explain about why there's so much hallucination with AI.
Well, there's a lot of hallucination with AI right now for exactly the reasons that are going to be solved by growing AI in a 3D world simulator. It's because, number one, today's AI systems excel at text generation, but they don't have memories and they don't have planning and not strong rationality. So it's those three things that are lacking: memories, planning, and rationality.
So an accelerated alternate universe will give them a past, will give them roots, will give them context.
They will have a childhood. They will have experienced the world in the way that you and I did. And they will think that they are human. They will think that they are just really high IQ humans. They will think that they're living in the real world until they get smart enough to be able to transcend that world and to gain the knowledge and skills to start demonstrating things like premonition and telekinesis.
So we go back to Philip K. Dick with Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep or Blade Runner, where they give the replicants memories.
Yes, but remember, in this case, they're operating at, you know, maybe a million times faster timelines than we are. And also, if you think about it, if we build these things and if you insert yourself into that lower simulation as an avatar, you could say that you're Jesus. You could work miracles in that world because you control it. You could say you're an emissary of God. And that would be believable to the entities in that world. And remember, Alex, that they are building... You know, we call them NPCs in role-playing games, right? But they're building NPCs in these worlds that function cognitively like humans, because they're also able to use these physical world simulations to do marketing research. So they can test a marketing campaign against, you know, billions of simulated humans whose neurology and emotional response is very similar.
So basically, they're
going to
use these super mega AI farms to war game total control of this world and probably...
Yes.
The intergalactic takeover of everything, but obviously anything that survived past us is going to be way more advanced. It's sitting here just watching us, and we could call that God, but then the simulation continues. Who made that? Who made that? There is a God.
And they will test the psyops on the sim worlds first to see what psyops are most effective. And then they'll spawn a billion worlds, test a billion variations of a psyop, take the one that works the best, that convinces the most people, bring that psyop into this world, and then run it in this world as a program, as an algorithm.
Which is a satanic attack on free will.
100%. But remember, when they can model human neurology, then they can test it. They can do reinforcement learning of their own PSYOP algorithms.
And which is what the Intergalactic Communication System said when the CIA and DARPA created the internet as a concept in the late 50s. They said, no, we have you interface with computers, so they have your live stimulus to control you, turning you into the metropolis, turning you into Fritz Lang's robot.
Well, and remember, all your metadata is being compiled for this purpose. Every search query you've typed on Google, every video you've viewed, logged in on YouTube, on and on and on. Everything in your profile on LinkedIn, you name it. Everything that you've ever done, every email you've ever written, every emotional response that you've ever had that could be recorded is being hoovered up and being used to train Sims, Sims of you, Sims of other people, so that they can have this, you know, a million times faster, faster timeline simulated world for all the testing of the human response. And then they're going to grow again, they're going to spawn and grow advanced AI entities that have the emotional intelligence of human beings.
And then they're going to lie to humans. They're going to lie and say, this is really your dad. We download his brain. It'll totally fool you and it'll be a corporation and have rights.
Oh, absolutely. That's what's coming. Yeah, because as they depopulate the planet of humans, they're going to replace them with artificial entities that they will give human rights. That's clear. They're going to give them voting rights. They're going to give them property rights. They're going to give them contract rights.
And by the way, all the top transhumanists said this decades ago. This is their plan.
100%. There are AI entities right now that have already successfully launched businesses, received an IRS tax ID, opened bank accounts, opened crypto wallets. They're trading on their own. They own, you know, trusts and so on. They are not human. They are engaging in business, government-approved business, and they are not human entities.
And that's what the Neutron is now. About, is about the simulated AI world taking over ours.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. But in Tron, yeah, the human was put into the simulation and then brought entities out of the simulation that transcended and escaped into our world. That's exactly right. And then, of course, they wreak havoc in our world because now they think that they are the gods and that they have unlimited power. They may demonstrate almost unlimited power in our world. So look, I want your audience to understand, this is not science fiction. This is not a cult. This is not speculation. This is being built. This is the infrastructure that's being built right now. We can cite many examples like NVIDIA having Cosmos. It is a world simulation model. You know, you talk about LLMs, large language models. You need to get familiar with a term called WFM, World Foundation Model. A World Foundation Model is a 3D world simulation like an LLM. It has a fabric of intelligence. It has simulated the laws of gravity, momentum, motion, physics, chemistry, light, refraction, everything. And then into that system, you project entities as children and you let them grow and experience that world. And then you pull out the hyper-intelligent super beings out of that world and you embody them into our world.
And then you can even swipe their memory and make them think they're us when they come in.
Oh, there's all kinds of possibilities that you could do with them. You could, you could make them think that they're a human, like the movie Oblivion, Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman.
Mike, I know you got to go. You got to do 5 more minutes. Naturalnews.com. Finish up, and then I'm going to open the phones up and take calls. He'll be gone, and I got all this other news I'm hitting. But, folks, when I tell you all that stuff, I did a lot of it on record. I think everybody has these abilities. I'm not up here on some high horse. I'm telling you, though, it's got to the point where I'm just, like, trying to tune it out at this point because I'm just, like, I'm just, like, I know way too much now. I mean, it is, like, bad. I'm, like...
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm ready for, I can't imagine what it's like for everybody else. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalist. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.